one-stop shop for all the news and views on Everton Football Club. Every week, myself, Andy Mack, and my mate Chris Jono are here to keep you up to date with what's happening with the boys in blue. We're two Evertonians separated by 12,000 miles, but every week we love to get together and have a chat about basically our favourite thing in the world, apart from our families and stuff, you know what I mean? So, lots to talk about this week. We're going to be talking about Norwich. We'll have a little chat about what the manager had to say on Thursday, and I guess we look forward to this weekend's game against the league leaders Leicester, which, apart from being a fantastic piece of alliteration, is quite the shock to us all. So, without further ado, let's bring in Chris. How are you today, Chris?
I'm all right, Andrew. Sam, mate, are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate, not too bad. Things keeping all right over there?
Yeah, Sam, mate, yeah, all right, other than Everton doing the head in, but I think everyone can say the same. Everton's all right, thanks, mate.
Ah, good stuff.
I was just listening to your English lesson and there, a bit of alliteration, eh? Go ahead, spot the English teacher.
Once an English teacher, always an English teacher. Unless you get something loads to sign for Man United or something.
That
wasn't it anyway, Wayne Rooney, was it? Happy days. So, yeah, let's get stuck into it today, Chris. Lots to talk about. But it's nice to know that, you know, you and I are going to be comfortable over Christmas. Let's pray for Jose Mourinho. Let's wish him all the very best. Imagine being John Stones right now. He must be thinking, thank God they refused.
He'd have been the scapegoat. He'd have been the scapegoat, wouldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, he's at a club that basically looks after him, and I hope that's something he thinks about in the future. But let's get on with it anyway. Norwich.
Yeah. I don't know about you. You obviously watched it all because you watch everyone over there. I didn't see loads of it because it was on BT Sport, and A, I haven't got it, and B, they don't show it on Sky later on that night. You don't get much more than a Match of the Day highlights. But basically, from what I can gather and what I did see, it was just the most Everton performance that you could wish to see, wasn't it? It was just Everton all over. I'm starting to think, to save us all a bit of time, man, to be honest, we can just record a podcast and put in a few blanks and just fill the blanks in each week, because the same things are happening every week, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every game is taking the same shape, getting in front and basically throwing it away. You know, that first half against Norwich, it could have been any score. It could have been a cricket score. The chances that we had, you know, we had the combo of Gerrard and Lukaku again for the goal. But the chances Lukaku had, but, you know, some of them were close. It's just one of them things. You can't really criticise him. Sometimes, you know, if you're aiming for the corner, it's easy to hit it on target and hit it straight to the keeper. But if you're trying to put it right in the corner, sometimes it's just going to go a yard either side. That's the way it is. The chance he did have, he had sort of a tap-in volley, I think, at the back post. He was on the ball come from the right, and he was on the back post, and he took it with his right foot.
It was given offside, that one. It wouldn't have counted anyway. So the only thing I thought after seeing that one was that, I just hope that doesn't affect his confidence. But even then, in the second half, he still looked dangerous. He was by far our best player on the pitch.
He was a missed chance. One missed chance ain't going to blow his confidence, because he's flying and he knows he's going to get chances. And, you know, I keep thinking we will batter someone soon, but it wasn't that long ago we scored six. But really, the problem is, sometimes the way we defend, you might have to score six.
Yet again,
you know, half time, come back out within 90 seconds or something, was it? There or thereabouts.
First attack.
Corner. There you go. Header, whatever it was, header, goal. Just so, so predictable and so, so poor. It's just so frustrating, isn't it? It's just such a cheap goal to give away, but What was an interesting read, which I don't know if you've read yourself or you've seen it on our Twitter. I'm sure I put it on earlier on in the week. I'm convinced of it. Leon Osman's book, the little excerpt.
Yeah, I did see that. But at the same time, I also read what the manager had to say after the game last week. You know what I mean? And he explicitly talks about, you know, we've got to tighten up on these set pieces. You know what I mean? And he actually talked about, you know, we're going to be working on it in training.
Should be working on training every week.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to wait. It's not something you react to. Set pieces is the difference of good sides and very good sides in the Premier League. Set pieces play such a big part in the game. So actually have to wait this long to go, bloody, I'm really going to have to do something with this now. It shouldn't be like that. You know, I almost wish he could bring Moyes in to sit alongside him, because I think the two of them between them would be unstoppable. Because with Moyes' sort of defensive strategy and his the work he put in on to set pieces and keeping clean sheets, if you coupled that with Martinez, you know, and his attacking flair, we'd have one hell of a team. But to ignore it, and Osman, you know, Osman's got no reason not to say it, you know, or to lie, has he?
No.
But to say that, you know, he's gone from a manager that works on them to one that basically doesn't, and has the view of, oh, you might have to defend two or three a game, so why bother putting all the effort in? It was basically, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but that was basically what was said. Well, yeah, two or three corners, mate, it'll be two or three goals. You know, and it's almost like a dereliction of duty for me to be running a Premier League football team and not focus on something as important as that, you know, yet we can't score from one. You know what I mean? It's like a double whammy.
Yeah. The one thing you got to take with Osman's quote there, you know, is he talking about, did Osman say, because I can't remember, I remember reading it, but I can't remember the entire sort of thingy of it. And the one thing about an excerpt from a book is you don't, you know, unless you've read the book, you don't know what was said in the paragraph beforehand. So it's like, did he talk about there is less of an emphasis, or that we don't do it altogether? You know what I mean? If we don't, I can't see.
I'd have to read it back again myself, but basically it was something that we don't really do. We don't really work on set pieces. Well, whether it's corners, free kicks, whatever, you can just imagine the sessions, can't you? Right, pass, 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 go home.
No.
You know, you...
Do you know what?
You can that's just it. See.
I'm sorry, but... not at the professional level, you know what I mean?
I'm being a bit facetious there, but, you know, the point is he's admitted it, really, by saying he has to now work on him. He's admitting that he hasn't been working on him.
How long did he have to take to realise? Yeah. And it's a fair point, Chris, don't get me wrong. You know, my words watching the game was, corner again, you know what I mean? For me, last week's game was a tale of aggression in the box, you know what I mean? I don't think when we defend corners, we're aggressive in the box. We don't really have that dominant player in it. Like, remember, we used to have, like, Fellaini and Ferguson, you know what I mean, and whatever. A sort of dominant figure in the box, Dave Watson, who, you know, gets up and clears the ball, you know what I mean? You know, we don't really have that in our side now. You know, we're a nice team. We play nice football. But we don't have a dominant figure in the year. Lukaku.
No, we don't.
Lukaku stays up for a corner. And I agree, you've got to keep a man up front. And with his pace and power and strength, you've got to, you know, I mean, remember the days when we just, you know, have every man in the box for a corner. And this is the thing, isn't it? You know what I mean? We do try to hit sides on the counter-attack. And we talked about having... You know, what it'd be like if David Moyes was alongside him. Well, David Moyes used to bring every man back for a corner.
Yeah, he did. But we never conceded from them. The number one thing about a corner, defending a corner, is not conceding from it. Not thinking, this might be an opportunity to score. It might be in the second phase of play, it might become an opportunity to score. But the number one thing from defending the corner, he's not conceding from the corner.
Absolutely.
Not looking 10 seconds ahead.
Yeah. This is it. What I was going to say is that our most aggressive and more likely to be dominant in the air player is the one who's left further forward, you know, in Lukaku. Somebody like Barkley might be better further forward than being left further forward there.
I agree, definitely.
Because, you know, he's not an aggressive player. And whilst he's a tall lad, like, you know what I mean, he's not somebody who's going to win 75-80% of your headers there, you know what I mean? So, whereas Lukaku certainly has that profile to do it. His goal the other day was an example of aggression. He beat Bessong, who ironically scored the corner against us in the League Cup. Or was it in the league a couple of years ago he scored against us as well?
I think he did last season as well, but he
certainly scored a corner against us in the last couple of seasons. And he beat him at the back post from that peach of a cross by Deulofeu. But it was his aggression, his determination to win it. And I think that we lack a little bit of aggression in our own area there. And we lack a little bit of aggression further forward. And that would have won us the game the other day.
It's a
simplistic approach, though. You know, there is more that can happen there as well. What I do want to do, I haven't had time to do it because, you know, we're getting near Christmas, but I'm going to sit down and have a look at all these goals that we've conceded from corners, and I want to try and figure out what the opposition are seeing and doing against us and what we're doing to try and stop the opposition, because at the end of the day, there's certainly a weakness there from set pieces that is being exploited week in, week out. So it needs to be identified and it needs to be, you know, stamped out, basically. So I don't think it's just a simple fact of the aggression. But I do think that's a factor.
It's not, mate, it's the unit. It's the unit.
Yeah.
There's so much space available. That doesn't, you know, aggression does a job. You know, to use an example, Liverpool are as bad as we are defending corners.
Yeah.
But
they have aggressive centre-halves.
They've still got the likes of Martin Skrtel, who will wrestle you to the ground. Now, that'll do a job against one man. But the problem is, players are finding space. It's a coaching failure.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's the scheme. Yeah,
it's a unit. It's the unit.
Yeah.
It's not working. It's a science, isn't it? It's a science almost.
Tactics. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's the scheme, as they would say in American football. And I think, as I say, it just needs to be sat sat down, looked at, figured out, worked on in training at the end of the day. And I'm sure they're going to do that. I am sure, because at the end of the day, you can't rely on your side to win 3 or 4 nil every week, no matter how well you're playing. Because number one, form isn't permanent. And number two, you're just not going to score that many goals every week. You're going to have games like against Norwich where there's, like Kone, for example, the chances he went through twice on goal and the keeper smothered it. Their keeper was very fast off his goal line. I do think if Kone had gone with his left foot and touched it around the outside rather than tried to bring it on his right, he may have scored one of those chances. But, there was such a fine margin because their keeper was very fast off his line and did very well in smothering the shot. But, you just can't rely on scoring a hatful of goals to win games. At the end of the day, he is talking about it. He says we've got to be perfect. We've got to be perfect in our concentration. And that's another thing from the corners, is the concentration hasn't been there. And we've got to be perfect in our application throughout the full 90 minutes. That first couple of minutes after half time seems to be an issue for us.
Yeah, I don't know why really. I just think corners are an issue for us. But just going back to what you said there about relying on players, you know, You're absolutely right. Now, I know we're going to talk about Leicester in a minute, but, you know, obviously Leicester are doing phenomenally well. You can't knock them, you know, the day on merit, you know. But equally, they have a heavy reliance on Jamie Vardy and Mahrez, because they deliver in every game, and they're reliant on them to deliver in every game. But they're top. We're reliant on Lukaku to score every game and Jerry to set them up every game. Yet we're still 10th. Do you know what I mean? Lukaku's getting a goal a week. Jerry's getting an assist a week. We're playing teams who should be beaten and we're still 10th. So we're reliant. When them players do have a dip, what will happen then? At least Leicester have got a bit of slack. Because let's be honest, you don't expect to win the league. Although, you know, you never say never, but I wouldn't, you know, you just wouldn't expect it. But, you know, where are they? The 9 points above fifth. Do you know what I mean? That's one hell of a gap to have opened up at this stage of the season. If you're looking for top four places, like, so you've got to, well, that, I'm getting away from what my point there. The point is, at least their reliance on players is producing something, whereas ours isn't. That's the concern for me. Because it won't, you know, you can't score a goal a game, you know, forever, and you can't create a goal a game forever. But maybe other players will step up, I don't know. Yeah, but just a really, really disappointing performance, or second half performance. But going back to the corners, someone, they might have said it on Twitter, or I'm sure I probably read it on Twitter, I wouldn't have read it anywhere else. Someone said maybe we're rubbish at defending corners and we don't practice them in training. It's, we haven't got anyone that can take a decent corner to deliver them in training. For me, you've got a good point there, actually. If we can't take them and we can't defend them, then we can't really practice them, can we?
Yeah, this is it. You'd almost want to, you know, with the players that we've got at the club who've been there from more successful times, the coaches, you got Kevin Sheedy there who was, forget Beckham, he was the best set piece player taker I've ever seen. He just wasn't as good looking as David Beckham. No offense, Sheeds, and I love the beard, by the way. You know, he doesn't get the accolades he deserves, is the point I'm making there. But you got him in who could, you know, in training, who could certainly coach that to an extent. You've got someone like Duncan Ferguson, who would be an expert on aggression in the area and winning the ball. Obviously, he had physical talents that some of our players don't have, being 6'4" and having that fantastic spring of his. David Unsworth, he was a centre half in our last cup winning side. He was also a centre half in more difficult side, so he's played in good and bad, you know what I mean, with Everton, so he certainly knows what it takes to defend a corner. It's just,
but they've got jobs though, haven't they? They've got other jobs, you know, Sheeds, Unsworth, they've got other jobs to do. They manage their teams. We need to be bringing in David Weir. What's he doing? I don't even know, where is he now?
I don't know, to be honest. I'm sure he's coaching somewhere, to be honest.
Maybe he is, but we should be bringing him in. For example, there's others, you know, Stubbsy's got a job up in Scotland, hasn't he? But, you know, someone like David Weir, you know, he was only 6'1", probably, David Weir. He certainly wasn't any taller than that. Good, solid, organised defender, you know. We need to be bringing somebody like him. I don't really know enough about our backroom, to be quite honest with you. They're not household names, any of them, not that many backroom staff are. Yeah, but I just wonder if they're up to the job. I know it doesn't, but it means nothing, you're right. But, you know, I don't know how good they are. Do any of us know whether they're really up to the job or not? You know, they've been with Martinez forever. Are they big enough for Everton or not? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't know. Things like Football Manager sort of skew that sort of thing. You know what I mean? So it's for me, it comes down from the manager at the end of the day and what you work on. And yeah, I certainly think that in the meantime, you know, the, you know, each of those will take part in training. Unsworth's got the under 21 job yet, but an hour, you know what I mean, in a week, where, you know, another coach takes care of training for the under 21s, and Unsworth comes and spends a bit of time there. You got Ferguson, who's already a first team coach, you know what I mean. Sheedy's just come back to work with the under 18s, but I'm sure that they do a little bit of mix and matching of the coaching, because at the end of the day, that'll keep the players fresh as well. The one thing you can't have is bored players in training. But the thing is, again, looking at the table here, Tottenham are in fifth on 26 points with 3 points behind them. And what, 4 goals in goal difference. It can all change very, very quickly. But the manager knows he's got to tighten it up. He said it. He's got to get it sorted out. What we do have to do, though, and what has got lost in all this, is really sort out the finishing there and get that aggression in the box there, so that all that nice play is finished. We were unlucky with a few chances the other day, as I say. Leighton Baines, you can't fault him. When he hit the post the other day, it was a belting shot with his right foot. I thought he's come back and he's going to mark his appearance with a goal. That would have done him the world of good. But, and it was nice to see him back in the side as well. He just does offer us a little bit more than Galloway there, you know. So it was nice to see him back in the side there. And I just think that with a little bit more aggression there, I had a bit of an echo there. I think that we can really, really sort of finish off those chances and be 2 or 3 nil up against that sort of side. We really have to make sure that we do that. So as much as we're talking about the corners there, we've got to sharpen up there as well. We have missed Jagielka's organisational skills at the back there. We certainly had a partnership with Stones, but we were still conceding things with Jagielka there. So it needs working on. It really does.
Yeah, of course it does, mate. Of course it does. But equally, if you know you can keep a clean sheet every, you know, one game in two or three, it makes life a hell of a lot easier. Yeah, I'm just trying to look for the last time we never scored a goal. It was United, Swansea, Tottenham, City. So 4 times this season in all competitions we haven't scored. And we don't score one very often. You know, I'm just looking here now, where are we? We scored once against Liverpool, once against Arsenal, once against West Ham, and then obviously the last couple of games have been 1-1. Now, the last couple of games, we both know we've been very unlucky in. But generally speaking, we do score more than one goal. So, you know, that should be enough. 2 goals should be enough to win you any game of football, generally speaking. Do you know what I mean? Scoring two, you should be able to win a game, especially scoring first.
Yeah, it's criminal not closing games out at the end of the day. And again, Martinez said that. He's talking about it's a know-how. And I think that's a really good way of putting it. You know, once you're 1 or 2 nil up, you know what I mean? It's knowing how to snuff out the opposition and then just pick them off, you know what I mean, and be ruthless there.
Substitutions, mate. Making the right changes at the right times generally sees you through games. That's one of the most important things. One of the reasons you do it. You do substitution to change games and to maintain the status quo, or to change games. That's the reason for substitutions.
The ideal is, Chris, that is that you don't need them. You know what I mean? If you have your first 11, being able to, you know, to close out games and finish off games, the substitute should be just there to supplement, you know what I mean? So
the game's moved on, though, mate. The game's moved on with the amount of subs that we have now, and it's a squad game. It's a match day squad game. The speed of the game, the level of fitness required now, people make changes to you know, just to give that. If you replace, for example, Kone for Morales, and Kone's blown out of his backside after an hour.
Yeah.
That extra level of fitness that Morales will bring you could be the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying don't have substitutes and don't use them. But all the players need to be able to play the roles on the pitch and play them for 90 minutes and to know how to close out a game is the point I'm making. And the ideal is that you don't have to make a substitution. You know what I mean? That's, again, as I was saying, the manager was talking about perfection, you know? I'm talking about that as well. You know what I mean? It's every player's got to be able to know how to close out a game and to win a football game. And the ideal is that you don't have to, you know, the ideal is that you don't have to make a substitute, you know? So you make a substitute because you either want to get him game time or because you're responding to a tactical thing or because one of your players is tired. But yeah, as I say, I'm not saying don't use substitutes. I'm saying that, you know, if you're looking for the perfection there, that's what you're aiming for.
But the manager's got to use them. He hasn't used them well this season. You know, the one standout substitution was forced upon him. And it was when he took take Besic off and bring Naismith on against Chelsea. And he's not getting any credit for that.
Well, because he picked the right one, though, didn't he? So he's going to have to get some credit.
But if he's asked how many Evertonians at 10 past three or whatever time, whether he'd made the right decision then, I bet he'd all have said no.
No. Well, it shows how much we know, eh?
Well, it's the game, isn't it? No one knows what's going to happen. It worked out well in the end, but, you know, you can't give him too much. You know, it was a substitution that was forced upon him. It would never have been made memory in man otherwise. Obviously, so early on in the game, of course, he wouldn't.
But
he's just got to be a bit smarter with the man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's got to think about it a bit more.
Well, he brought on Morales the other day, which everyone's been crying out for, and he did a grand total of nothing.
Well, he won't, mate. Do anything, will he? Getting 10 or 15 minutes here and there. No player can have an impact. But, you know, I understand him saying that a fail off, if you're up front and you want to close a game out, and bringing someone on that's a bit narrower, so they're not hugging the touchline. They're just going to squeeze the midfield and just tighten it up a little bit. I understand that all day long. But if you're getting beat, they're the players you need on the pitch. He's just got to, he just has to give it a bit more thought, I think, with his substitutions, because he makes such a big difference these days, more than he've ever done. But, you know, I take your point as well. It is, you know, players should be able to do it for 90 minutes. But, you know, it's fine lines, as I said, isn't it? Very fine lines.
That's the whole thing about it. It could, you know, what was it? There's that American football film with, was it De Niro in it? Or Pacino, Al Pacino, yeah. Can't remember the name of it. But he had that great speech where he was going on about it's a game of inches. And, yeah, just as I say, football's the same. Proper football. Well, I guess let's move forwards anyway. Like, so we're, you know, to Leicester. So just a bit of team news, I guess. And the one thing is, like, Leicester haven't had the injuries to contend with that we have this season at the back. But this season, this weekend, like, their fullback here, Jeffrey Schlupp, is out for 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. They lost Danny Drinkwater the other day as well. And Robert Huth is banned. And they've been missing Richie DeLate for a while as well, the ex-United youngster. You know, this is, in some ways, it's a bad time to play against them because they're on form. But in other ways, you know, there's going to be a little bit of disruption in their first 11 there, like so. Hopefully we can take advantage of that. James McCarthy is a late fitness test. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play, and if he was left, you know, given a few extra days for the Boxing Day fixtures. But I don't know. Have you watched much of Leicester this year, Chris?
Not an awful lot of them, but you know, they're a team, aren't they? The performances are, you know, what's the phrase about it? They're more than the sum of their parts, aren't they? As a team, they are more than their individual players. But they've just got two players that have done exceptionally well that nobody really saw coming, certainly not Maris. Vardy, they just work hard. They press from the front. They work hard. Try and catch it on the break. Vardy's in a rich vein of form. but he brings with him an obvious ability to finish, but with a work rate that comes from, you know, his background and the level of football that he's played at to get to this point, which you don't see very often these days. But he's played, you know, down the leagues, non-league, and it's instilled a grit and determination into his game that he's brought into the Premier League. And added to that, his ability to finish has made him into a very, very good player. And Mahrez, no one saw him come at all. He was there last season, didn't do much, but things have just, you know, things are falling into place a little bit for them. But, you know, you wouldn't, there's very few, you know, you're saying about they haven't had the injuries that we've had to contend with, but you'd take our reserve back four before their first back four. Do you know what I mean? They've got a good manager. I like Ranieri. He's a gentleman and he's a little bit eccentric. He's, you know, it's quite funny. He used to be the Tinker Man, didn't he? And now I don't think he makes many changes at all with Leicester. So he obviously adapts the way he approaches things depending on the situation at the time. But though it is easy to keep the same team every week when you're winning every week and you're top of the league. Yeah. But he's just done a very good job. He's made a proper team out of them. You know, he's got them playing for each other, and confidence is everything in football, isn't it? You know, they haven't had, if you look at their games from March, their run of fixtures without having to play top sides, they literally didn't see one for about 20 odd games. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm taking nothing away from them, because we could have had the same run of fixtures and I guarantee you we wouldn't be where they are. But yeah, they're coming into, you know, they're coming to play some good sides now. And then they've got Liverpool on Boxing Day. But no, you know, to be fair, they beat Chelsea and they deserve to beat Chelsea.
I hope for their sake they don't play long ball there, because, you know, it'll really upset Klopp. You know, did you hear that ridiculous statement the other day? You know, he said about West Brom playing, you know, direct. He says, well, do it everywhere else, but don't do it here. Tool, do you hear me?
All this
I like Jurgen Klopp thing from people, like some Evertonians, and oh, it's going to be hard to like him now. He's signed for Liverpool. They, you know, at the end of the day, it only takes 6 weeks for them to come out with some stuff that's reprehensible. Even Benitez was, you know, sounded okay and magnanimous after his first derby, and then, you know, nah.
No, I liked him up on me. I'd be the first to say I always like managers with a bit of charisma and a bit of character.
He's not got charisma, like he just Mourinho. Smiles. Flipping out, anyone
he's
can
just,
smile.
He's just a bit odd, isn't he? It's just a bit odd, but to be fair, he has given us one of the greatest moments with his celebration of a point around to West Brom in front of the cop, which is just takes cop-like behaviour to a new level as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, no, it's a Bundesliga thing, you know, I don't care what it is, mate. Don't understand it.
I don't care what it is, mate. To get a reaction like that after the most Liverpool comeback you've ever seen.
I must admit,
a deflected equaliser and 28th minute or whatever it was.
I caught a train the other day that I was expected to miss, so I got like loads of the passengers to hold hands and, you know, just raise them in the air.
Anyway, we're not talking about them, mate. No one's to listen to us talking about them. No. Do they? But yeah, you know, going back to Leicester, yeah, they've beaten Chelsea and they'll be coming to Goodison thinking they can beat us as well, which may well play into our hands, to be honest. I think it'll be an open game. I think there'll be, you know, I haven't had a bet for a while, but if I was doing a bet, both teams to score Coupon tomorrow, that'd be the first game on it, in my opinion, because there's no way we won't score, and there's no way they won't score. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good game. Like the Palace game, it's a really good game of football. And who'd have thought this time last year we'd be having a conversation about two fantastic games potentially against Palace and Leicester at home. Do you know what I mean? It's funny how things change, isn't it?
Certainly is.
But, you know, they can't keep a former at this level. They just haven't got the players or the squad for it. They, you know, they're reliant on a couple of players, but they're going to concede goals as well. Yeah, he's not renowned for his heading, you know, scoring from headers, Jamie Vardy particularly. So I'd like to think he's not going to be sniffing down corners, but, you know, it doesn't really matter, does it?
For me, he closes down defenders, you know, and causes a lot of issue. He closes down, never stops, you know what I mean? He's a pain in the backside to them. And obviously, he's quick as well. Now, we've got, you know, certainly one centre-half and possibly two who like to be on the ball at the back. So it's whether, you know, we can keep that composure there and, you know, still be able to play it out the back, because that's what they'll try and stop us doing. You know, he'll try and stop us
from... Yeah, they'll push straight on, won't they? They'll push up straight away first five minutes.
Yeah, and that's it. So it's basically being able to play around that and make sure we keep our composure there at the back. And that we're not having to play it too long further forward, you know what I mean? So, you know, and we're able to mix it and match it a little bit, because they will try and stop that sort of outlet of the ball to Barry and whatnot, like so. And him sort of taking the ball from there. Which other side, you know. Yeah. And that was a big difference again. Norwich's approach the other day, second half, you know, they were just at us, you know what I mean? And we didn't adapt to that. We didn't adapt to that. So we've, you know, really got to get stuck into them. It's been, I don't want to say this, but it's been 30 years since Leicester beat us at our place. 30 years ago, this week.
I can't believe you just said that.
Gary Lineker was playing.
You had to get me mentioning Villa the other week for slagging off at Emi Gard against Villa before we played them, and you don't come out with that little pearler.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, honestly.
I can make it worse if you want, because we've only lost once at them. Our only league defeat in the last 20 meetings came away from home in August 1998. And have a guess who was on the score sheet, which ex-Everton player was on the score sheet for Leicester that day?
And when was it? 1998?
Yeah.
I was probably at the game as well, you know.
Oh, you would have been.
I was probably at that game. 98 Leicester, what was the score?
2-0.
Wasn't Gary Rabbit or something, was he?
No.
Where did he, was he?
Tony Cotty. So,
I was going to say Tony Cotty, and I thought, nah, it wouldn't have been him in 98.
Yeah, this is it. So, that win 30 years ago was a 2-1 win, like, so, but you were talking about putting money on a draw. 13 of our last 18 Premier League encounters with Leicester have been drawn, so...
No, I never said put money on a draw, I said put money on both teams to score.
All right, fair enough. Well, score draw then, laughing.
Well, it doesn't have to be a draw, does it? It could be 7-4. Both teams have scored, haven't they?
Are they going to get four corners? I don't know.
I'm telling you, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess at this stage, there's a couple of things I've got to mention, Chris. Is there anything more you want to say about Leicester?
Not about Leicester particularly. No, there's a couple of things I was just going to touch on in a minute, but, you know, a bit of football related. But no, you go first, mate, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to give a couple of people a mention who've been, like, very helpful to our website and our podcast. So there's a couple of bands in Liverpool recommend you go see. First of all, there's Propellers. Just Dead Sound, you'll find them on Twitter with some of their videos there. And there's a cracking punk band as well called Invisible Heroes. And they've been very helpful in just putting the word out about our podcast. So get stuck in, go and see them. Fantastic. Certainly next time I'm home, I'm going to try and catch them both. And I just want to give we had our first email, Chris, this week. I was at work and a little thing came up on my phone saying I had an email on the Toffee Cast thing. I thought, great, we're getting sued. Chris is getting sued. So yeah, all good. Sue me, I haven't got anything to give. But our friend, our new friend of the podcast, Colin Taylor, basically just sent us an email, and he said, "Hello, fellas, here's an email because you don't get any. Great podcast, Colin from Halewood." So cheers, Colin, that brightened me day. I was made up with that, like, so yeah. But as I say, we're at toffeecast1878@gmail.com, at toffeecast1878 on Twitter, the same on Facebook, and you find us on Podomatic, SoundCloud, iTunes and Stitcher. So yeah. Thanks very much for listening. Now, what is it you'd like to talk about today, Chris?
No, the only couple of things I wanted to mention, I'll get the quick one out of the way. As we said a couple of weeks ago, or I said, how despicable I thought it would be if Swansea got rid of Gary Monk. I think I meant to mention it last week, and obviously they did. And I just think it's a really sad indictment on the game. When you give a decent young manager an opportunity, who's doing very, very well. He gets his star striker sold from underneath him for big money that doesn't really get invested, certainly in his forward line. And guess what? The team doesn't score as many goals and struggles a bit. Yeah. And he's lost his job. It's just ridiculous. I think Moyes was linked to it. I'm not being funny. As much as I have been, I've been a fan of Moyes, but he certainly doesn't fit into that Swansea mould. Whether they want Brendan Rodgers back, well, I'm sure they can have him. But, you know, the short-sightedness of it all. A young manager who needs an opportunity to develop the side, and they're not going to go down Swansea. They've got players that, you know, they'll do enough, but I just think it's ridiculous. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous that you'd have one little bad spell, you know, and you're gone.
At the end of the day, a club like Swansea really should be looking at getting, you know, making sure they're established. They've been in the Premier League a few seasons, but, you know, you want to get, you know, 7 or 8 years in it, you know what I mean? So get yourselves in a top league for that long. I don't think they were in any danger of going down, but they needed to support the manager, and they haven't. And, you know, it's proven time and time again that chopping and changing your manager doesn't work. You know what I mean? Unless you're, you know, absolutely boosted, and that manager can go and spend a load of money, and your club's prepared to make a massive loss on players that he boots out. And Swansea aren't in that position.
No.
He wasn't supported, in my book, like you said. You're totally right there. And, I think it's ridiculous. You know, I think it's a mistake from their board. They've lost the bottle. For me, again, you can look back at our chairman, and how he supported his managers and given them time and generally stayed out of the way. Supported them with what we've got. You look around the league at other chairmen and what they do with their managers. We're a stable club.
Is that supported, Andy? Is that supported them, or couldn't afford to sack him? I'm joking.
I should hope you're joking, because
I'm joking, mate.
So you know my thoughts on it, mate. As I say, it's proven basically that if you support your manager and give him time, then you know you're going to get results out of it. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, you've just got to give him that time. All right, Swansea, you know, just one goal off the bottom four there. But, you know, the lads that have been at the club for years, he knows it inside out. And if he'd been supported by his, you know, because he wasn't able to bring in the players he wanted over the summer. And he talked about that. If he'd been supported by his board, I think Swansea would be much further up the table there. So, totally agree with you, Chris. No, it's a disgrace.
I agree. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I have retweeted something tonight. Was on the train yesterday, stumbled across an article in The Guardian. Now, I don't buy The Guardian, and as you will well know, mate, but I just stumbled across it on Twitter. You might have seen it yourself. Do you remember George Green?
Yeah, I remember it. I've read the article myself.
Have you read it? Yeah, we signed him. Just to touch on it for those that mightn't remember him or mightn't have seen the article, I won't ruin it. I'll encourage everyone to find the tweet. It's only, we've only retweeted earlier tonight, which is Friday night. Just to scroll down our tweets and find it and read it. It's a cracking article. We signed George Green from Bradford when he was 15 for a fee of up to £2 million. We paid him a chunky signing on fee and some decent wedge.
45.
And it all went to his head. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying not to spoil it for the readers, Anne, but you do. You spoil it if you want. You know what I mean? But, you know, he basically got ideas above his station and it all unravelled in front of him. And he's now playing for Ossett Town. I can say that because it's in the headline.
Oh, don't spoil that.
He's now playing for Ossett, who I think play in the same league as Prescott Cables, on £75 a week. Having asked to terminate a contract he had with Oldham Athletic on a grand a week for a year contract. Interesting read, very honest read about how it all unravelled and his attitude let him down and this, that, and the other. Just have a read of it. It's just a very heartfelt article and a good read, and it just goes to show, you know, getting too much too soon and what it can do to you. The flip side of that, sorry to keep mumbling there, actually, the flip side of it is how well other players do, you know, how well Ross Barkley deals with it, John Stones deals with it, loads of young players in the game.
Yeah.
The fact that they've been able to deal with that money and the fame, which is considerably more than his, from such a young age, it's something that's forgotten. And to me, it comes down to background, families, you know, the support of your family, the way the whole situation is managed. But it was quite bizarre in there where you were seeing the same as me, and you probably thought the same as me when you read it. That is it. When he was 15, his agent said, "You're not going back to school tomorrow, mate. You're signing for Everton." The first thing I thought is, well, you've got an agent of 15.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was
That's where it all starts going wrong, mate, isn't it?
Because at the end of the day, you know, and that's the thing, these, you know, agents, they're after the money at the end of the day, first and foremost. They might say they've got the player's best interest at heart, but they're after the money because they get the percentage. So, as a 15-year-old lad, I mean, I remember what I was like at 15, and
shit of football.
You know what? I was like Rivellino, but like after he'd retired. No, I was garbage. But basically, I remember what I was like as a person at 15, and if somebody had given me 45k, or, you know, sorry, I've already spoiled that, and I say, you know, a decent wage every week, you know. It'd have gone right to my head as well. I'd have been wandering around like I was Bertie Big Balls, you know what I mean? So,
someone give us 45 grand now, mate. Yeah, be walking
this
now.
Is it. Yeah, 45 grand English as well. That'd be, you know, that'd be about 100,000 New Zealand. I'd be singing and dancing. So, but that's the thing, you know, it all went to his head. He was silly. Just want to go back very quickly to the Gary Monk point. The clubs from 15th down in the Premier League have all changed the manager over the last year. 15th to 20th have all changed the manager over the last year. And I would say that each of those clubs have changed the manager, apart from Newcastle. So each of those clubs have changed the manager, say, twice over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, says it all, really.
That doesn't get you anywhere, does it? That doesn't get you anywhere at all. We know that for a fact, don't we?
Yeah.
We know that for a fact.
Well, a manager comes in with a project, comes in with a 5-year plan. 2 years or 6 months or 1 year into that project, year and a half, it's taken out and a new project is put in. So the old one's got to go out and the new one's got to go in at the end of the day. So, nuts. Anyway, yeah. At this point, we should get off. You've got to get to bed, so all good. But thanks very much, Chris. We're going to try and do a Christmas special this week. So we were going to make this one a big long podcast, but we'll just do a Christmas special this week where we cover the next few fixtures and we look back at the Leicester game. So look out for that. As I say, Podomatic, SoundCloud, iTunes, and the Stitcher. So all good, all good. Happy days. All right, well, come on the Blues. Have a good one, and we'll see you soon, Chris.
Yeah, I'll speak to you next week. All right, Sam. Yeah, see you later.
Ta-da.